What's up, y'all? It's your boy Afrobeats. Get at it again. Here on the Afrobeats podcast, we have some great garden-to-table content that will connect our people back to the land and allow them to live their best lives. This week is going to be a little bit different. I'm on the works with some great podcast content coming up. We got an interview series that I'm going to call Soul Food Sunday, where we interview different people of the diaspora and really learn their stories behind, you know, what they did growing up and who they are through their food. So today I thought I'd give you a little treat. If you haven't checked this, definitely go and check the Edible Activist podcast. I'm going to put my podcast interview I did with them a couple weeks back. But this is definitely a great one. You get the whole origin story of Afrobeats along with some garden tips, of course. And just, you know, I think this one really opened me up. There's some things in here that you might not know about me. So take a listen and enjoy.
Peace, peace, peace. Happy Friday. This is a Friday's edition, guys. I typically do these on Wednesdays, but, you know, sometimes the weather has to just come in and do its thing. So anyway, welcome to the Edible Activist Podcast. And I love my intro, by the way. Shout out to my homie Authentic in DC who, like, graced my podcast with these beats. Anyway, so today on the show, I have a cool-ass guest who I'm so excited about. And this is my first time meeting him, too. Kristen Riddick is a vegetable gardener and plant-based soul food cook from Montgomery County, Maryland. He is the creator of the blog Afrobeats, which is your source of garden-to-table content inspired by soul and culture. You can find many of his plant-based creations on his Instagram page, as I salivate over every single one of them, okay? Especially the raw vegan pizza. But anyway, Chris also has a podcast. Don't think I didn't know that about you, Chris.
Oh, you did research.
I do my research. He has a podcast called Afrobeats, where he shares garden tips, the history of our food culture, and other witty perspectives. And it's actually really funny. Welcome to my show, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you. What's going on, y'all? How you doing?
We good. I'm good.
Good.
I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And we finally made this happen after many...
We went through snowstorms and all that, and you know what,
it's all good.
Yeah,
it was supposed to happen today. It was supposed to happen. So for our listeners, just a brief rundown of what's gonna happen on this show and what you can expect to pull from this episode. So we're gonna learn about Chris's personal journey in this space. That's nothing new when I invite guests to the podcast. We're going to gain insight on your perspective of food and identity, Chris, and we're going to educate listeners on the personal and environmental advantages of a plant-based lifestyle. And then we're also going to learn how to create small indoor edible spaces, because I'm inspired by what you have going
on. We got the tools for you, so we're going to talk about it.
Yay! So because Chris is a podcaster, he can probably do a better job than me. I always say that I don't know what I'm doing. So anyway, Chris, what up?
What's going on?
Happy to have you. So, Chris, you have this wonderful platform called Afrobeats, which I am so digging.
Thank you.
And I know later in the show, I always ask, like, how can people find you? Like, go look him up now. Afro_beats.
Yep.
Instagram, yep. Podcasts, all that good stuff. So that you can salivate as well. So, Chris, why did you choose to explore the plant-based life? And what's your story?
Well, I'll start from the beginning, the origin story. So,
and it start with plants?
It does not start with plants, believe it or not. Well, it kind of does, but
no, let me. I was totally joking.
So just a little background, you know, I grew up in the DMV. I have family in Virginia, North Carolina as well. And ever since I was young, food has always been a part of my story. I always related food to love, compassion, community, caring. You know, I remember, you know, growing up and going to my grandma's house, you know, two times a year, one on Thanksgiving, one on Christmas. And, you know, my dad's side alone, he had like 7 or 8, you know, brothers and sisters. And then my mom's side, she's got 4 or 5 brothers and sisters. So whenever we had, you know, these meetups, it would just be us packed in like this, you know, it's a big country house, but we would pack that thing to capacity. Like when we had, you know, Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, people would just come.
and we didn't even know where we were going to sleep.
On the couch. Ledges. That sounds like Big Mom's
on the
house.
Floor. Yes. We would have, like, it was like Tetris on the floor. Like, you literally just found a way that you could just.
And y'all
it.
Were comfortable.
Yes. Yes.
And good.
Because it was family. It was family. It was all love. But, you know, food was huge for me. That was my favorite time of year. I knew I was going to get the best food no matter what. All my aunties and grandma were in my kitchen. And some of the men, too. The men could throw down, too. My grandfather used to make these amazing, like, cakes, chocolate cake, coconut cake. He would make, like, personal cakes and pies for specific people in the family. It was like,
you mean, like, little small personal
cakes? No, like, just, whole pies.
But you get a whole ass, like, pie and cake? Like,
my dad needed a sweet potato pie. My brother needed a chocolate cake. I needed, like, a coconut cake. Like, he had it. Like, they would work for weeks just preparing it. And, yeah, I didn't realize it before, but everything was so fresh back then. Like, my family actually had like a little bit of land and the garden space.
Was in North Carolina. North Carolina,
correct,
okay.
Yes. And they would grow their own yams for the sweet potato pie. They had their own, you know, collards out there. My grandma had chickens, you know, all of that. So, you know, back when I was eating meat and stuff like that, yeah, like everything came fresh. And like, you know, I always knew, you know, I always made that connection with food in that way. But it was just a good place to live out. Just great time, great food, great people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when did the plants come in?
So fast forward. Unfortunately, my dad suffered from brain cancer.
Wow.
And they never really figured out what it exactly was. It was like a big deal in our family because our dad was like the man. Like he was the oldest and the my grandfather wasn't really in the picture like that. So he was a brother and a dad. And he's the one that brought everybody together. That he was that glue.
He was like that real patriarch.
Yeah.
He was
the one that, you know, really brought that together. And, you know, when I was 15, he passed away. And that was really hard on us. So I thought started from that point on thinking about health a little differently. And not only from the physical standpoint for like a mental, like, how do I deal with stress? Like, how can I stay healthy so I can be there for, you know, my family? Because, you know, from the looks of my dad, like, he was a very strong man. Like, he would go to the gym all the time and, you know, he'd be fit, you know, and he'd be taking care of all these people. But, you know, I wish now that I would have checked up more on him and see how he was doing, like, health wise and everything like that. And yeah, that happened. And then, you know, up until recently, my mom was actually diagnosed with cancer as well. But thank God she beat it and she's still here with us and she's doing better. And then she's healthier. So she's also been my rock for most of my life, you know, and really had to play both roles. So just from that in general, I kind of went, you know, to that. So like 3 years ago, I was in an AmeriCorps program and I was serving and doing service. And on one of my service projects, I came across this guy named Josh who ran this business called Fresh Truck. And Fresh Truck was a way to get food out to, you know, food deserts and people who couldn't afford those fresh foods. What he did was he converted like old school buses and packed them with like produce and like remodeled the whole thing. And then would just go out into different communities and serve different communities. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I looked more into it. I was like, what are food deserts? Like, I was privileged enough to, like, you know, be near food. It wasn't on the best all the time, but I still had access to it. And then when I was doing service, it wasn't until I actually had to live in some of those communities because, you know, AmeriCorps doesn't really pay your boy like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're living in those communities. And then I realized, wait, you know, I can't afford these fresh produce like I used to be able to. Is this what, like, people live like all the time? And I was like, you know, I want to do something. I have to do something. And so I went down that rabbit hole of, you know, seeing what I could do. And I came across this guy named Ron Finley. They call him the Gangster Gardener in South Central L.A. And what he did was he took land that nobody cared about, you know, abandoning like parking areas, you know, put a little piece of land on the street that sometimes it's like mediums, like traffic mediums.
Okay.
He would take those
like
areas.
Like a service road type thing? Or?
Yeah, kind of. But it was like, you know, that little grass like in between the two
yes.
like streets. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He would take stuff like that and then like grow vegetables and, you know, everything. And his message was like, you know, don't come to me with all of this, you know, funding and stuff like that. Like, grab a shovel. Let's grow some shit. Like, let's get in the dirt.
Let's get gangsta
with
it.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, let's grow some shit. And so that's how I started growing.
Wow. Yeah. So what message are you trying to convey through Afrobeats?
I think I really want... So Afrobeats was just kind of my way to kind of to explore my culture and explore what health means to me through the lens of food. You know, I'm trying to become more like knowledgeable in my past and my history. And it seems so overwhelming. Like, there's so much that's hidden from us as a people. And it's just like so much. I was like, what is one thing I can focus on? And I was like, let me focus on food. Let me do my part. And I can learn from other people who specialize in their own part. So I, you know, started studying, you know, George Washington Carver, mm-hmm. George Crumb, who invented the potato chip, like people who, you know, that we talk so much about civil rights, but there's so many other areas where we specialize in that we've done so much in. And, you know, it was just a beautiful thing. So I kept going.
I love it. So I did read on your website mm-hmm. that you said that you suffered a bit of an identity crisis.
Yeah.
Coming up because yeah. your mother is a Washingtonian mm-hmm. and your dad is from Virginia, mm-hmm. like the southern part of Virginia. Yeah. How has food helped you define your mm-hmm. identity or make the connections?
Yeah. That's a good question. I think now
if at all.
Yeah.
Or if it's still a journey and that's okay.
It's definitely still a journey. I'm always learning, but I think it's allowed me to accept a little bit of both. I've kind of always been in that space where I would try different things. And, you know, I was like, you know, really weird as a kid. Like, I would try different things. Like, I played like lacrosse in high school just because it was like different.
That's not weird.
Yeah. I mean, like, typically you don't see a lot of brothers.
I was gonna say, you were probably the only black one out there playing lacrosse. Okay.
But I mean, they took that from like Native American culture anyway. So I'm like, you know, whatever. But yeah, I used to identify more with that Southern aspect, but now I know there's a whole culture within DC in itself and the history of how people, a lot of people from those areas migrated to DC and, you know, changed the culture for the better. So I resonate with the both. You know, the school I work at now is around the corner from where I used to hang out with my mom's mother, my grandmother on her side.
Okay.
And now I serve at the school that I grew up around the corner. I used to go to the Children's Museum and, you know, do all that. And so, you know, I definitely resonate with DC as well. I do enjoy the city a little bit more now, though.
Yay. City's what's up, man. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like it is a mission of yours to create an identity around food culture?
Absolutely. I think it's extremely important. You know, I don't think we have pride in our food like other cultures do sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like at least, well, when I come to like, you know, Nigerians or people from like Ghana and stuff like that, they have like that cultural like food.
Yeah.
But, you know, as, you know, African Americans, we don't, you know, tie as much. We tie it to soul food, but I think there's a lot of pain in soul food because of the history of it and how, you know, that's kind of like the scraps and,
right.
you know, how that's everything we used to know. But like, people don't know that like the slaves brought over so much like cultural significance to the Americas. Like, the American landscape is so, you know, rich because of us. Like, I haven't fact checked this yet, but I heard that when slaves were coming over, they used to carry okra seeds like in their hair and then, you right. know, be able to grow okra here. And now it's used in like gumbo. It was mixed with French cuisine, and it's just a lot. It's a lot to it.
But like, I mean, you mentioned earlier, there's so much history
mm-hmm.
that I ain't learned none of this coming up.
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, zero.
And they still don't.
And they still don't.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, there's we brought a lot of traditions over
mm-hmm.
and, you know, hair braiding is more than just hair braiding.
Right.
Like, our ancestors did carry over seeds mm-hmm. and braided seeds in their hair and brought it on over via the transatlantic slave.
Yeah.
You know, and that's real.
Right.
And do you feel as though we just aren't educated about it, or we do just take advantage, or we don't take advantage of our food culture? Is it a combination of both?
Yeah,
because some folks don't know.
It's a little bit of both. I think, you know, we also like to put each other in these boxes. Whenever somebody in like our culture tries to bring up something new, they're like, oh, why are you doing that? That's not black, or that's not like this, that's not like that. And they don't even know the history behind it, that we were doing it way before other cultures were even, you know, thinking about it. And, you know, I was just, when I was studying like plants that I were growing, like aloe was known as the plant of immortality by the Egyptians because of all the skin care, you know, that it would help, and you know, how it heal burns and things like that. So it's, we've been doing this for, you know, quite a while. We just gotta, you know, go back and look for it.
You're right. Can we look for it in your food?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because you know, through Afrobeats. Mm-hmm. Well, let me pause. So for those who are just now joining, this is Melissa L. Jones of the Edible Activist Podcast, and I am broadcasting live from the lobby of the Lion, D.C., and I am chatting here with Chris Riddick of Afrobeats. And for some of you guys who follow me, I know some of y'all follow him, and again, I salivate over all his creations. I really do. And I'm just really excited to have these conversations because I'm just not having an ordinary conversation with you about the plant-based diet.
Right.
It's really more than that.
It's way deeper.
It's way deeper than that. So he shared a bit of his upbringing and how he evolved into this space. And I'm sorry to hear about your dad, who passed years ago, who was pretty much the rock of the family and the cook of the family. Mm-hmm. And just that tradition of, you know, coming together in North Carolina and sitting around in the room. Yeah. And it's just, you were painting a picture that reminds me a lot of my big mom's house in Mississippi.
That was grandma. She didn't care who it was. Like, if you brought girlfriends over, she would love on them.
Right,
she had a side eye, but she would still love one. That's just
that
who she was.
That is
just good.
Family is so embracing. Like, you really just described my family. Mm-hmm. They're probably my family crazy too, so let's just be clear. But anyway, thank you for just being in my space. So, and for those who have been listening, thank you for your ear. You're awesome, you're dope. So your food that you magically create and I mean, you say this, like, it embodies soul, like the soul, soul food. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, what is, so explain to us the, not your process, but like what your creations do embody.
So my creations embody the raw ingredient. The reason I started cooking in the first place is because I actually started getting production in my garden. I was like, I have to do something to this. I put so much work into this garden. I need to produce something, and, you know, produce something good. I don't want to just deep fry everything, you know? And so when I do a recipe, I start with the raw ingredient. I'll take something like tomato, for example. If you pay attention to where the root of that vegetable is, like, where does it come from, you can figure out the surrounding flavors and build a dish around that. So I know, you know, Italians use tomatoes a lot. So what things go good with that? You could use parsley with that. You could have olive oil, you know, things that will accentuate the ingredients and the flavors. And you can build, you know, a whole meal around that.
Can you make me a meal?
Absolutely.
Chris had this raw pizza on his Instagram page, and I wanted to shoot him a DM and be like, just stop.
I gotta get some pizza boxes going. Maybe
just
start a little.
But aren't a lot of your creations and dishes inspired? Maybe not a lot, but aren't they inspired by soul, like the art of soul food?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. Some of it is soul food. Some of it is like as diverse as the diaspora. I just made a. Like I call it a jollof stew. It's not, I don't even think it's a legit thing, but I took the spices of jollof and created a stew out of it and put my own like plant-based, you know, spin on it. And that was like amazing. And usually I try to eat within the seasons as much as possible. So what is the peak of an ingredient? You know, there's two things that make like a great dish. One is the moment. What are you celebrating? What's going on?
The moment.
The moment.
Tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet. And then The other one is the ingredient. How pure is the ingredient? What's the weight of the ingredient? You know, that's super important. And, you know, when I'm talking about my garden to table movement, I really want to make sure I'm getting the full extent of what I've grown, because it took me so long. We don't realize, just because we have so much easy access to things, there's things, you know, that take time to grow, and we take it for granted. Like, let's just talk like meat for a second. You know, a lot of African dishes start off as plant-based, to be honest, because they would only, you know, take the like goat or the chicken, the eggs and the things that the goat produced were more valuable. So to sacrifice an animal for your meal was a big deal. They would only do that for like weddings. They would only do that, you know, for special occasions, maybe birthdays. And, you know, we take it for granted. And I think it shows that energy out there is kind of off. So,
yeah. Oh my gosh. So when I got, a lot of people don't know. No, maybe some people know. I don't know. So one of the ways that I got into this space some years ago was kind of comparable to your story. Mm-hmm. It was through like a health lens. Mm-hmm. And when I really started learning about health and food, and I was like, oh shit, like for real?
Yeah.
I've been duped all these years. Are you serious?
It felt like a lie. It was all a lie.
And I just started thinking about all the oodles and noodles. And no shade to people who still eat noodles and noodles. Do your thing. I don't care. And all the tang and just everything. Ooh, right. We ate crap growing up. And so I really, after learning about health and food, I geeked out about soil. Right?
Yeah.
I geeked out about soil because I was like, soil is so essential.
It's very important
to our environment mm-hmm. as a whole. So I have watched documentaries about animal agriculture. Mm-hmm. And I deeply believe, and again, this is a non-judgmental space. Yeah. So if you eat meat, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's your prerogative. I'll just say that is your prerogative.
Right.
But it is definitely my belief that animal agriculture and the carbon emissions that are released are effing up our environment.
Real bad.
Very bad.
Real bad. People don't even realize it.
People don't realize it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first, agriculture and, you know, animal rights, people like, when they say I'm not going plant-based, you know, I'm too busy worried about, you know, like civil rights. They worry about, you know, what's going on, like us getting killed in the street, which is important. And I'm not trying to relate the two.
Everybody has a lane.
But, you know, food justice is a civil rights issue. Like those go hand in hand. You can do both. You can, you know, march for them to stop killing us in the streets. And you can also grow something in your house that is pure and not tainted with pesticides and not hurting animals. I was watching this one documentary. I think it was like What the Health or whatever. And they were saying how all the animal like shit basically was like going into like the water system.
Yes.
It was poisoning the people around.
And
who are those people? The people of color.
They are us.
Yeah.
And they're getting sick.
Yeah.
They can't breathe. Mm-hmm. But we don't, to be fair, some people don't. They just don't know.
Right.
They just don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's why we're here to tell y'all.
Yeah.
And that's happening.
Right.
So it's more than just, and I think that you would agree, mm-hmm. it's more than just, you know, go plant-based just because it's better for your body. It affects, like, animal agriculture really affects our environment and our communities bad.
Right.
And let me tell you, these big corporations who have these large factory farms, who don't give a damn about what's happening to our, like,
not
they don't
one.
Care.
Not one.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. So I just wanted to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, it, again, I am all for, I'm a firm believer in a plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in a plant-based diet, and I'm not here to tell people what they should eat.
Right.
But for health reasons, for environmental reasons, I 100% support a plant-based diet.
And everything helps. Like, I don't like this, you know, ideology of, like, it's either all or nothing. You're either with us or against us. Like, every little bit helps.
It does. Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. So, all right, guys, we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be back.
Yeah.
You're listening to Perfect Day, produced by Artists Authentic. For more of Authentic's work, visit allornothingstudios.com. Folks, welcome back. This is Melissa L. Jones with the Edible Activist Podcast, broadcasting live from the lobby of The Line, D.C. I am here chatting with the amazing Chris Riddick.
What's up?
Of Afrobeats, which is a really dynamic platform, a very colorful platform. He is a really great cook. I'm calling you a cook. I want to call you a chef.
I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it.
But, you know, I like his message. You know, he's all about food identity and culture and really honing in on growing food. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to get caught up in just vegan food mm-hmm. and processed vegan food. Yeah. Again, I like to say I keep a very non-judgmental space, but I really like the message that you push.
Yeah.
And he also he's a podcaster too, guys. So check out his podcast, Afrobeats, on
the Afrobeats podcast.
The yeah. Afrobeats podcast, which he talks about some really cool things about the history of our food, some very witty perspectives. So check him out. And he just, the first half of our show, I learned about Chris. This is my first time meeting him. So thank you for sharing a bit about your family yeah. and just growing up in, you know, communing with your family in North Carolina, and what food looked like. And it was just like, damn, like it was fresher back then.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I don't even know what I'm eating now these days when you go out and people are cooking less too, which is crazy.
People are cooking less. I will have to tell you, Melly Mel keeps a list of restaurants mm-hmm. in her phone that she really only likes to eat at mm-hmm. because I don't spend my money at places I don't like no more.
Right.
I'm done with that. Nah. Those days are over. Mm-hmm. So for the folks who invite me out places, maybe I shouldn't be saying that. Be like, that's the reason why she didn't come out. I'm saying, like, it's my dollar, and right. I'm very cognizant about who I support and the
and
food
support
that I'm
black
eating
business too.
And support black businesses. Yeah. Hello,
Turn Naturals right around the corner from
yes.
me. I'm there every
Yay,
every
Jerry.
Tuesday and Thursday.
Turning Natural
and Friday.
Those veggie patties,
and
man.
Monday.
So good. So good. Okay. So we left off talking about animal agriculture, mm-hmm. just Chris sharing his perspectives about that. Chris, is the plant-based life for everybody?
This is a hard one. I think.
This ain't going to be a long debate. I'm not going to debate you.
I don't I think everybody should eat more plants for sure. Now, there's two parts. Well, let me explain. Veganism and plant-based is very different. Okay. Veganism is more about the animal rights and, you know, what you consume, what you wear. So veganism isn't necessarily healthy or good for you. If you're eating Oreos and chips every day, like, you're not getting the nutrients your body needs.
Absolutely.
So I encourage everybody should have a plant-based, which means mostly plants. You need a mostly plant-based diet. Everybody's worried about protein, things like that. All the protein your animals.
Do you get sick of getting asked that question?
Yeah. It's,
where do you get your protein
right,
from?
You've never heard of anybody that has protein deficiency ever. You can't name one person.
Not I.
Not one person. And it's because animals get their protein from plants. So why not just go to the source? Like,
touché.
It's that simple. So yes, I think everybody should pursue a plant-based diet, meaning mostly plants. Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
So what are some of the, in your eyes, what are some of the advantages of a plant-based diet? You don't have to get too scientific.
I mean,
there's health, there's wellness,
yeah,
you know, mind, body, and soul.
Skin, energy. If you, you know, Valentine's Day just passed, you know, with your lady, you get
it
you more.
Did. First of all, let me say,
and more energy for that stuff. You know,
if you all haven't gone to Afrobeat's Instagram page, please do it now, because when I say colorful, the one thing that I really like about your platform and what you push is it's a mix of these wonderful dishes mm-hmm. and the plants mm-hmm. and stuff that you grow.
Yeah. I really try to, when I'm doing my photos, I've tried to put all the raw ingredients I use so people could see. You know, I think I had like a Brussels sprout like salad. I put the stalk of the Brussels sprout. A lot of people don't even know Brussels sprouts grow on a stalk.
Right.
And so I want to educate.
I found that out some years ago.
You know, people were like, what is that?
When I first saw it, I was like, is this right? But then you think about it, you're like, how does Brussels sprout grow?
Yeah.
I'm going to read this because you just mentioned, didn't you just mention Baby Ruth? I have to read this. I thought this was a really like sweet, no pun intended, post. So Chris made some Baby Ruths the other day, or for Valentine's Day. He said, I wanted to make Baby Ruth candy bars for Valentine's Day, but I didn't have all the ingredients I needed because I've been a little sick. But these look like they came out pretty good for my first time making my own candy. They will have to wait. One of my favorite food memories when I was a kid was receiving Baby Ruths from my grandmother in D.C. I would visit her at least twice a month, and every time I would come over, I would greet her with a kiss on a cheek and head right to the fridge while she talked with my mom and Judge Judy played in the background. I love Judge Judy. In the fridge was a Baby Ruth always waiting for me. Ah, so sweet. I always thought this was special because my grandma's name was actually Ruth. That's why for Valentine's Day, I wanted to recreate the type of candy bars like Baby Ruth in memory of how my grandma always showed me love through food. There's more to it. Y'all got to see it. I just thought that was so sweet.
Yeah. Just both sides. Just always, we love food. We're like interchangeable. I think that's why it's so hard for people to give up certain dishes now that I realize. So I'm very sympathetic and try to come off as non-judgmental as possible.
You do. That's the other thing I like about your platform.
Food is a feeling. And, you know, there's research done that like our stomach is almost like our second brain. There's, you know, chemicals and hormones in there that affect our brain and bring happiness, bring, you know, so much to our lives. So, you know, what we put in our stomach is very important.
Can we talk about creating edible spaces?
Yeah.
Because you said, Chris said, no excuses.
No excuses.
He doesn't have a backyard.
Nope.
Porch. None of that.
Nope.
But you got some indoor space. You got some ledges.
Yeah.
Sunlight.
I got ledges.
Hook us up.
Yeah. So you want to grow your own food in your garden. All you need is a window, a pot, some soil, and you'll be good to go. You want to, the best windows are southern and western facing windows. So if you have that in your house, that's ideal. If you don't, you can still make it work. You can grow anything you can grow in a pot outside, you can pretty much grow in your window. You just got to make sure you have the right size for things. I've grown like eggplants and cucumbers and things in my, you know, garden. You know, it might not have been like a ton of it, but like it started off with something. And now I took a master gardening course at UDC.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm finishing it up. I'm just getting my credit. So volunteering at different gardens and things like that. And one thing they were teaching us is, you know, size and volume is important because some plants have deeper roots than others. And
because try growing a mint plant.
Yeah.
Good grief. It's going to take over.
And also that's a good point. Don't be afraid to like start off with like a transplant. Grab something from your store and see if you can keep it alive first. That's the first thing I tell people. I'd say get something you're used to, like herbs, like basil.
Start small.
And start small. You know, get that garden, learn the water.
So I can't, you don't want me to start growing eggplants right now?
Maybe not.
Okay.
You know, because I'm still working on.
Don't kill my spirit, just, Chris. Okay.
You keep going and you keep trying. Like, when I first started, I was like awful. Like, I was doing all kind of crazy things, like trying to grow lavender in the middle of winter in Boston. And I'm like, of course this isn't going to work. But like, once I grew my first thing, it was a radish. I'll never forget it. It was like probably the size of my thumb. It's on my Instagram, but it was like the littlest thing, but I couldn't be like so much like prouder of that. Like,
aww,
it was like,
it does really
feeling.
Make you happy
yeah.
to see something that yeah. you fed love into. Mm-hmm. It means the world to you. It's mm-hmm. your baby. Like you said, it's like a
yeah.
child.
Yeah, it really is. And then you get to eat it.
And you get to eat it.
Weird to say
now, how do how often or not does your vegetables make it to any of your recipes? I just feel like I would be like munching.
Tomatoes
off
are hard.
Tomatoes
are hard. There's nothing like a homegrown tomato.
Oh
like
gosh.
It's you don't understand how important it is. Like the type of tomato you can get can throw off the entire dish. It could be the same tomato, have one like homegrown. And then buy one from the store. Like you have to balance out the acidity and everything. Like it's totally different. It's night and day.
I love tomatoes. Let me tell you, when I went to Greece,
yeah,
a couple years ago, mm-hmm. I didn't want to eat a tomato. Like
right.
It was olives and tomatoes. Oh my
Come
gosh!
On now.
I chain ate
Come
olives
on
when I was in Greece.
Yeah.
I just thought I was going to cure up myself and
right.
dry up and die. Like it was ridiculous. So. Some of the vegetables that you say that you specialize mm-hmm. in, you specialize in some vegetables that create some of your soul food dishes.
Yeah.
So what are some mm-hmm. of those?
Well, there's a lot of things like used in like African cuisine. I suggest a book recommendation is get the Flavor Bible.
I forget the author, but the Flavor Bible,
it's going to like give you an ingredient. It's going to break you down everything that's compatible with that ingredient, and it shows you the different combinations that work good together. And so I kind of like researched like African type cuisines, and based off of what part of the continent or where in the world you're going, there's different types of things you can grow that are native to those like areas. Not
okay.
everything, but they have something called garden eggs. And
I've heard of those.
And they're basically like eggplants, but you know, so those are like one thing you might want to consider in replacement of like eggplants. For Jamaican dishes, use allspice as a seasoning. That'll bring a lot of that Jamaican flavor. If you ever go to Jamaica, like
mm-hmm.
they just have very, you know, aromatic,
Jamaica.
You know, beautiful smelling, just curated
everything.
Like everything. And I didn't know. Do you know what allspice actually is? What do you think allspice is?
Don't ask me. I don't know.
A lot of people say that allspice is like a combination of spices.
I should have just said that.
But
I don't
actually
use it.
Allspice is a kind of like a pepper that comes from the allspice tree. It's grown in areas like close
there's
to
an all I didn't know there was an allspice
yeah,
tree.
There's an allspice tree, and what they do is they crush up, you know, the berries and they dry them out in the sun. And that creates like the allspice seasoning that we use. It's in a lot of Jamaican dishes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I learn. I get gifts, y'all. Chris bought me a really nice flower plant or calla. Calliki?
Yeah. I have to do more research in that one. Yeah.
I love yellow.
I'm glad you like it.
I love yellow. So what else inspires your dishes? They're so rich.
So much. I use food as a like vessel to like solve my problems. I use plants to solve my problems. So if I'm not feeling well, I'm going to, you know, maybe my throat is hurting. I'm going to use something that's more ginger based and has like a lemon, like citrusness to it.
Mm-hmm.
If my stomach is hurting, I'm going to eat something with papaya in it. Cause the seeds of papaya kill parasites, you know, things like that. So
okay.
I'm actually using food to heal me. Maybe I just want like, I want to be happy and want to operate. Like, you know, sometimes I'll, you know, do different things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the beauty of creating
mm-hmm.
a dish, and especially using really fresh ingredients, because mm-hmm. I felt, listen, let me tell you something. I don't claim to be a chef by any means or a cook, but baby, I will throw some vegetables. There, let's just go. Take broccoli. Mm-hmm. And if I got some herbs.
Yeah.
You would think that I am Chef Melly Mel over right. here. I done something because it just, I got, you know, chili pepper flakes mm-hmm. and I got oregano and it just looks great. I'm like, damn, I
spice
did that.
Spice is important.
There's, it is so
there's
important.
There's been wars over spice.
And I'm talking yeah. like a shitload of garlic too.
Oh yeah. You got to.
Garlic oh, me
garlic
up.
Garlic is a flavor enhancer, man.
Garlic me up.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, Chris. So, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where can we find you at on social media?
Yeah, so the Afrobeats podcast. Instagram is the main platform. That's where I go on the most. Also, the YouTube channel is up and running this year.
Oh, it is?
Go check it out. Okay. Yeah, there's some clips I do through Instagram every Thursday. Post a video. Twitter, the blog, you know. I'm hitting all the senses. So,
all right, you know, all right. But really find him on Instagram. Yeah.
Instagram.
Stalk his page. You need. Yeah. Do you foresee a cooking experience?
I do.
A food experience?
I think I'm going to start off with more of like an online business, just educating people first, okay. like giving people the blueprint to, you know, things I've done.
MakeThatMoney.com.
Yeah. But, you know, I see, you know, pop-ups in the future. I see catering businesses in the future, just really refining my skills. You know, I'm not in a rush. I'm learning from the people who came before me.
If you, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you ever feel like you want to test in order to refine those skills, let me know.
I got you.
I will make myself available. Okay? Okay? So, all right. So, we're about to close out, y'all.
Okay.
And I have a quick question and answer. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for me?
I'm ready.
It's going to be easy for you. What is your favorite leafy green?
I would have to say mustard greens. Mustard greens.
Ooh, mustard greens.
Yeah.
My grandma.
I don't eat them a lot, but I just love that it has almost natural spice to it. Yeah.
They can sometimes be bitter, right?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Okay. Depends on the type.
I like mustard greens.
Yeah.
Sweet, spicy, sour, or salty?
Sweet, man. I got a huge sweet tooth.
You do?
You know, I love baking as much as I can. Yeah.
Baking is a skill set, man.
Yeah, man. Baking is totally different. You have to completely switch your mindset. You know, it's very technical. There's a certain amount of rules, and if you don't follow them, it's not going to come out good.
It's not going to come out. And I guess what? I have no interest of going down that lane. I'm good. I'll let you bake. Favorite fruit?
Favorite fruit. If you ask anybody from my past, I was obsessed with pineapples.
Ooh, I still love pineapples. It's one of my favorites.
But I'm going to have to go with mango now.
Really?
You know, I don't know what it is, but like mango is just clutch. Like you can't eat. It's not fast food pineapple. You got to you have to take the time and cut it down.
That
mango,
is very, and it's very, it can get very messy.
Yeah.
And it's juicy.
I just got
but
put
it's good
on,
for the gut. Pineapple
it is.
It's great for the gut. I've been eating a lot. So what has become a staple and just I actually have some now. I'm in my book bag.
Yeah.
Dried mango. No added sugar.
Yeah.
Just dried mango. It's the ultimate
mango
snack.
Is amazing.
It's the ultimate snack and it fills you up.
Right.
But, you know, it just holds you again. Melissa keeps snacks. I don't just eat anywhere.
Right.
I'm really for real about that, y'all. I am. Okay. What is, what's cooking in your pot these days? Besides everything.
So like I said, I did a stew when we had that little winter storm.
Okay.
You know, like that Joa stew using African spices. I'm going to be focusing more on this year on bringing some of those different flavors of the diaspora. But right now I'm actually kind of like studying like alternative meats. There's this substance called vital wheat gluten.
Okay.
And just like you bake bread and can have different flavors and different, you know, textures and shapes and things like that, you can curate like meats that are plant-based. They basically take the protein like out of the flour and it becomes this kind of like doughy material. It sounds kind of crazy, but like once you season it and get it down and cook it the right way, you can, you know, create something pretty crazy.
Oh wow. Have you tried any of the Beyond Meats?
I have. They're pretty good.
They are really
They
are really
good. And I like
good.
That they don't have soy in them. I'm trying to like cut down on the soy. So.
I still can't eat a lot of that, you know, eat a lot of processed.
No, it's very rare I eat it.
It's but I had my sister loves the sausages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were really good.
I made, I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I made like pigs in a blanket for the Super Bowl and I used the Beyond Meat sausage and just kind of made that happen.
Really? Oh, you just made it happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Just made it happen. One way someone can channel their inner edible activism.
I think it starts at home. I say start growing your own stuff, eat better. You know, once people see that you're taking care of yourself, people are nosy, man. Nobody's worrying about you when you're not doing the right thing. But when you're doing the right thing and you're starting to glow up, people are going to take notice, going to start asking you questions. So be that light for other people.
You know what's so funny about that? When my mom my mom is a full-fledged vegan, like full, like vegan to the core. Well, she's, you know, one question I should ask you is about the honey debate. We can say that's a tough one, yeah. But I eat honey. I'm actually not vegan, and yeah. I'm not vegan because I love my grandmother's fried fish, and that's just, I'm not. But typically, I'm vegan-ish.
Yeah.
I don't eat chicken, beef, or pork.
Plant-based.
Yeah, I'm plant-based for the most part.
Yeah.
But I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
I lost a train of thought, too. I was just listening to you.
But anyway, the vegan hot dogs or the Beyond Meat is really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. But no, what I was saying is that when my mother first went vegan, you know, and my mother's from Alabama.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go down there and you're telling people you're vegan. You're like, what?
What?
You're a whole stranger. But years, you know, fast forward, you know, later.
She the one now, huh?
She the one. Yeah. I even get questions, you know. Melissa, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to lose weight or, you know, this, that, and other. I'm like, you weren't checking for me back then when I
started. The same ones he was talking about you earlier. The same ones coming at you later.
It's all good, though. It's a learning experience. And I'm happy that, you know, we can be the ones that they ask questions. And they are inspired. So that's what's up. So thank you, Chris, again, for joining me. And so thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We're here live on Full Service Radio, typically every Wednesday. Today was a special Friday edition at 11 a.m. You can access each episode after it airs on iTunes and Spotify. You can also catch today's show on fullserviceradio.org, which is also home to some really other cool podcasters. So check them out. Follow me at Food Talks DC on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Are you an edible activist? Come join me on the show. I would love to feature you. Just shoot me a DM on Instagram. Thanks and have a wonderful day. Peace.
Peace.
Well, that's it for today, y'all. Thanks for listening again. And make sure to subscribe/follow on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, leave a comment and 5 stars if you're feeling your boy. I love to hear from y'all and get feedback to continue to make this podcast better each and every week. Share this podcast with your fellow gardeners and foodies, and I'll see y'all next week. Talk to y'all later, fam. Peace.